It began over 5,000 years ago when civilization was young. Every major culture, Egypt, Greece, Rome, India, Japan, studied it, practiced it, perfected it to a fine art. They admired its Olympian demands, strength, speed, agility, skill, grace, and courage. They did it to honor their gods. They did it to honor their kings. They did it to train their soldiers. They did it to compete, and they did it for fun. It has come down through the ages to us today. It is Coliseum Corner, the wrestling podcast where each and every Coliseum home video is reviewed. From the personalities and specialties to the best of the WWF and even the Collector Series. If you're looking for reviews of WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumbles, and SummerSlams, then look somewhere else, because this is a trip down memory lane of your favorite videos. We review the good, the bad, and even sometimes the awful. Join Bill as he takes us down a memory lane adventure the likes of which no podcast has ever gone before. So sit back, relax, and listen to this fantastic podcast that we call Coliseum Corner. And here is Bill to start the show right now.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Yankovy, and welcome to Coliseum Corner. You know, with pro wrestling, there's two ways to root for. You can either root for the good guys, or, on that rare occasion, root for the bad guys. And this videotape is all about the bad guys, the rule breakers of professional wrestling. Because today, the Coliseum video review here is Villains of the Squared Circle. Now, this is a part of the seventh volume of videotapes released by the WWF, and this is coming right after WrestleMania 2. So, this, some of it, you know, at this time, may be fresh in people's minds, and other times it, you know, may be brand new. Who, you know, depends on who is watching it. So, let's get into this tape, Villains of the Squared Circle. This video is hosted by Gene Okerlund, and he mentioned some of the previous videotapes that have been done, including the most unusual matches, bloopers, bleeps, and body slams, a look at the tag team champions, and wrestling's amazing managers. Now, after he was told by the producers that they were going to do a videotape on Villains of the Squared Circle, he was like, "That's great. That's a wonderful idea. However, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to stay impartial for over an hour and a half." Well, Gene Okerlund regrets saying that because the producer said, "Hey, we'll get you a guest host, someone who will help you along." Well, instead of one, they end up getting three, because the guests are Bobby the Brain Heenan, King Kong Bundy, and Big John Studd. Now, I can't tell you right now what the finale of this tape is, but I can say it's gonna feature the Heenan family. So, let's get right into the action, starting off with the newest member of this exclusive club, those are Gene's words, Jake the Snake Roberts, as he is facing Scott McGee in Madison Square Garden. This is a few weeks after WrestleMania 2, so Jake Roberts is coming off a big event, and he's wrestling in Madison Square Garden. Gorilla Monsoon is on commentary with Lord Alfred Hayes and Big Cat Ernie Ladd, so we get Ernie Ladd on the commentary here. This is a pretty decent match. Jake Roberts is showing off, you know, his slithering ways as a bad guy, and the commentary's decent in this. At one point, Gorilla Monsoon and Ernie Ladd have a conversation about Miguel Perez, the partner of Argentina Roca, and Ernie mentioned, or I think it's Gorilla actually, that mentions that Miguel Perez has a son in pro wrestling, and Ernie's like, "Well, if he's as good as his dad, he'll be really good." Scott McGee does manage to get a little bit of an advantage, but towards the end makes a mistake by putting his head down. Jake Roberts hits the DDT to get the three count and the victory. After the match, Jake Roberts opens up the bag, and we see Damian, and he puts the snake on McGee, and it just slithers all over the body of McGee as Jake Roberts is watching it. Now we're going to go into the archives, and we're going to be in the archives for a little while here, because we're going to start off with Tor Kamada. Yes, Tor Kamada is the villain in this one as he takes on Pat Patterson. This is from Shea Stadium 1980, the big show with Bruno and Zbyszko in the steel cage. And Kamada does a Pearl Harbor job on Patterson right at the bell, and he's attacking him. And then he goes to the top rope, tries a big splash. Patterson gets out of the way, and Patterson still has his coat on in the match. And he goes to the top rope, hits a knee drop, but only could get a two count. And this is a very short match. I mean, it's a quick match. And the end of the match, they're both in the corner. The referee, Dick Kroll, is trying to break it up. Kamada gets a bag of salt out of his tights. He opens it. Now, and if you watch, it's a bit breezy there that night. The wind is picking up a little bit, but it's not, you know, like hurricane or tornado-like winds. It's just like a little breeze going through. So Kamada, he gets turned around, he throws the salt, but instead of hitting Patterson, it hits the referee, who doesn't really do the best selling job in the world, and he calls for the bell, and then Patterson gets a body slam, and he tries for a pin, but only gets a one count, even though the referee had called for the bell, and Pat Patterson is declared the winner. So our next villain that we're going to be taking a look at is George the Animal Steel. Yes, folks, at one point in time, George the Animal Steel was a villain. And here in this clip, he's challenging Pedro Morales for the WWF title. And the guys mentioned, Gene mentions that, you know, he was a rule breaker at one point. And King Kong Bundy's like, he's really lost his way since he, you know, went with Lou Albano. And Heenan is like, well, you know, he's now gone to the point where he's seeing doctors and chasing women. And Big John Studd's like, I don't really care since he's not one of us anymore. And he does it in that voice, like, one of us anymore. So we see George Steele with what appears to be a foreign object in his tights, and he's using it early on to Pedro Morales, and he's using it often, and the referee's not catching him. So we go a little bit later into the match, and we see that this goes onto the apron, and Steele rams Morales into the hard part of the turnbuckle, the part that holds up the actual turnbuckle. And he sends him a few times into it before Morales can get himself together, and he does the same thing to George Steele. And when he does this, Steele starts to he's bleeding, he's busted open. So Pedro Morales starts going to work on George Steele to the point where the referee stops the match, he calls for the bell. Pedro Morales wins and retains the title. However, after the match, Steele attacks Morales and keeps going. He still has the foreign object until George loses the foreign object. Morales picks it up, and Steele is running away from Morales and gets out of the ring. So our next match features the big cat Ernie Ladd as he is facing Andre the Giant. And they mention that Ernie Ladd has this taped thumb. And Gene's a little bit questionable, and Bobby Heenan says it's an injury that he had during his time playing professional football. So Andre is in control of this match, and you could see at one point the fans are pointing towards, you know, like the entranceway, like, throw him over there, throw him over there. He doesn't do that. So Andre's in control, but then Ernie Ladd does manage to get the control back with his, you know, the thumb right into the throat of Andre, and he beats up on him, but Andre manages to get back, and then Andre goes for the big slam, and Vince, who's on commentary in this is in 1976, by the way. Vince is on commentary, and he's like, Andre, can't really understand what he's saying. Andre misses the splash. Ernie Ladd got out of the way. He goes outside of the ring. He walks around the ring, and then he goes up towards the entrance. Ernie Ladd has given up on this match. He is counted out. Andre the Giant is the winner of this match. So our next match is Captain Lou Albano, although in 1973 he wasn't known as Captain Lou Albano. So Lou Albano here is going to face Gorilla Monsoon. And during the introduction of this match, you know, the guys have some thoughts about Albano, and Big John Studd calls Albano a jelly roll. And I like this segue because Oakley's like, King Kong Bundy, speaking of jelly rolls, oh, I'm sorry. So that was kind of funny. This is just Albano getting beat up the match. I mean, he may get a punch here or there, but it's all Gorilla Monsoon. It really is. It's all Gorilla Monsoon. Albano gets knocked out of the ring and gets counted out. Gorilla Monsoon is declared the winner. Our next villain is Stan the Man Stasiak, who was at one point the WWWF champion, although be it for 9 days, he was the champion. So we see this clip of Stasiak teaming up with Blackjack Lanza against Andre the Giant and Chief J Strongbow. And what we really watch in this clip is Stasiak going to work on Strongbow. Strongbow does get a lot of an advantage in the match or in this clip, but Stasiak manages to go into the eyes of Strongbow. And at one point, you can hear this right hand punch. It looks like it's to the face of Strongbow, and it's so loud that the audience could hear it. That's how loud of a punch Stan the Man Stasiak was. Now, we're going to get away from matches for, briefly, because the next segment is all about the Magnificent Morocco. And they talk about how, you know, Gene questions him for embracing the dark side. And Heenan's like, he's a very spiritual man, Okerlund. I don't know what you're talking about. So, we get a clip of Morocco against Pedro Morales for the Intercontinental title. And then we get to a match. Don Morocco against S.D. Jones. And I'm just going to say it right now. If you're looking for, you know, like, people are going like, oh, I'm looking for match quality. This is the best match you're going to get on the entire tape. This is the best match. So, it starts off. Morocco and Jones, you know, they lock up, and then SD Jones, he gets some offense in, gets a sunset flip on Morocco, but could only get a two count, and he manages to hook a side headlock in. And Morocco manages to escape, and then Morocco gets a side headlock on the Jones, but Jones manages to escape, and it's a really good back and forth match. This is a non-title match, by the way. Morocco's Intercontinental Champion in this match, but this is a non-title match. It's a decent back and forth match. And then you get to the end where Morocco sends SD Jones into the corner and Jones picks up his feet and he gets to the second rope and he jumps. Morocco grabs him and power slams him down to the mat to get a three count in the victory. So then we go to a clip from the TNT show, and I talked about this in the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat video, which you guys can check out in the archives. where Morocco talks about, you know, how he is the dark side, how he represents the dark side. And, you know, he is at the top. He cannot go any higher. It's a really good promo. You guys should check it out. And then we finally see the final couple of minutes of a match between Mr. Fuji and Ricky Steamboat, where Steamboat hits the cross body block onto Mr. Fuji, but could only get a 2 count. And then Fuji gets control, but Steamboat reverses what looks like would have been a waist lock. Steamboat schoolboys Fuji to get the 3 count and the victory, which gets this big pop. And after them, and I got to point this out. I always point this out when I see this particular video clip. There's a little girl who gets through the barricade, the security rail, and she wants to hug Steamboat, but it seems like she either stops and decides to run back, or she got called, like her mom or dad called her, and she just decides to run back. It's kind of a sweet little thing. So after the match, Steamboat is walking, he's celebrating, and then Morocco runs up from behind, hits Steamboat with a wooden chair, which breaks in two, and they attack Steamboat with a broken piece of the chair, and Steamboat is just out of it. Now, the next person that we're going to be talking about, and this is a big part of the tape, and this is a pretty, like I said, this is a pretty lengthy part of the tape, is Rowdy Roddy Piper. And Gene, says at one point, "Oh, I bet he's your hero, guys." And they're like, "No, we're our own heroes." Good job. Good job. So we start off with briefly the clip of the famous coconut attack by Piper on the snooker. And then we go to the TNT show where Piper gets into an argument with Lord Alfred Hayes and Vince McMahon. And he ends up slapping Lord Alfred Hayes across the face. And it's so loud that Hayes just collapses to his knees on the floor. And then we see another famous Piper's Pit with Frankie Williams, where they have the brief fight. And you get, just when they think they've got the answers, I change the questions. And then we go to the TNT show again, where Roddy Piper is with Lou Albano. Albano is dressed up, and Piper's dressed up too, which is kind of interesting. And we see Piper, you know, he's like, "Look, I'm sorry for what I did," you know. And then he smacks Albano, and Albano flips over the chair to, like, the other side, and he's on the ground. And then we see Piper interviewing Mr. T and the whole setup where Mr. T gets involved to get to the main event of WrestleMania 1. And then we're going to see some highlights of Roddy Piper in action, which includes him hitting Andre the Giant with a foreign object, and then a match with Jimmy Snuka in St. Louis where Lou Thesz is the referee. And some of the things that Piper does in this include a knee to the lower regions of Jimmy Snuka, attacking him on the floor, getting him with a chair. And then he pulls Lou Thesz in front of him so Snuka would hit Thesz and not Piper. Then Piper grabs the belt from Lou Thesz and wraps it around Snuka's neck, kind of choking him. Thesz then pulls him off, only to get punched. Then we see another tag match where Piper is teaming up with Bob Orton against Jimmy Snuka and the Tonga Kid. And it's like, "I want to be in. I don't want to be in. I want to be in. I don't want to be in." Now, we briefly get a clip of our next person, which is Macho Man Randy Savage, and the ending to the match against Tito Santana in the Boston Garden. Savage just got out of the figure four leg lock. He goes to the apron. He's grabbing what seems to be a foreign object from his tights. He takes a swing. Santana ducks. Santana goes for a back suplex. Savage hits him with the foreign object. 1, 2, 3. Savage wins the title. And then after the match, Savage throws the object out of the ring, and the referee never sees the object. Savage wins the Intercontinental title. I wonder when we're going to see a Macho Man videotape. We'll find out in a little bit. Now, this next clip, or this next wrestler we're going to talk about, is Terry Funk. And the match that he's going to have here is against Aldo Moreno. Now, the reason why this match is on this tape is not because he's facing Aldo Moreno. It's because of what Terry Funk does. This is his televised debut match in the WWF. Mel Phillips is the ring attendant for this show. So Phillips gets up to do his job. He gets up on the steps. Terry Funk gives him his chaps, gives him his shirt, gives him his hat. Well, Mel Phillips, thinking, okay, if I do this, maybe it'll help get the stuff to the back, puts Terry Funk's hat on his head. Well, that's a big mistake, because Funk starts beating the crap out of Mel Phillips. Like, I mean, he beats the daylights out of him. And then he goes after Aldo Moreno. Now, the referee here is Rita Marie, the first female referee of the WWF. And you notice Funk never goes after her. That's a good thing. But Funk just keeps attacking Mel Phillips. And it's to the point where he's just laying in the ring unconscious. And then he goes back to Aldo Moreno. He goes to the floor, beating up Moreno. And then we see two or three security guards. And this is how you could tell, you know, how far WWF, WWE will eventually get. Because in 1985, if you're security and you're working for the WWF, on the back of your shirt, it says security W.W.F. Yep, we've come a long way from 1985. Terry Funk wins the match with a spinning toe hold, and then he gets into verbal arguments with some fans. But Terry Funk, oh my gosh, this is so funny to watch, because it's like the guy just puts the hat on his head. That's all it takes for Funk to just flip out and go after him. Now, our next villain that we're going to talk about is the Iron Sheik. And you'd think, okay, Iron Sheik, he's done a lot of dastardly deeds here. Well, we only get a match of the Iron Sheik. Only one. We don't get a highlight clip like Morocco and Piper. We get a match. So Iron Sheik here is going to face Corporal Kirshner. And Classy Freddy Blassie and Nikolai Volkov are on the outside of the ring for this match. And Sheik attacks Kirshner before the bell rings. And it takes a couple minutes before the bell actually rings for it to be an official match. So Sheik's in control early on. He hits a nice gut-wrench suplex, only to get a two count. He's doing very good wrestling moves. But Corporal Kirshner makes a comeback, and he's going after the Sheik. So Kirshner, you know, he's building up this comeback. And then we get to the end, where Kirshner is pulled to the outside by the Iron Sheik. Nikolai Volkov is there. He starts kicking Kirshner. And then he grabs Freddie Blassie's cane and hits Kirshner with the cane. Referee doesn't see it. Then, as the Iron Sheik is wanting to get to the outside, the referee's blocking him, saying, no, I'm not letting you go outside the ring. Freddie Blassie allegedly hits Kirshner with the cane. Referee sees that and calls for the bell. Well, that's great and all, but we didn't see Blassie hit Kirshner with the cane. So, referee calls for the bell. Volkov throws Kirshner into the ring. It's a two-on-one beatdown. And Gorilla Monsoon and Ernie Ladd, they're pleading for somebody to come out and help Corporal Kirshner. So Kirshner rolls to the outside of the ring, and he grabs a steel chair, and that's what chases Sheik and Volkov away. And now we get to the finale of this videotape. This is, well, like Gene Okerlund says in the beginning of the tape, the gallery's rogue of the most heinous acts of villainy in all of professional wrestling. So it starts with the Manager of the Year presentation, which I talked about in WWF's Amazing Managers, which you guys can check out in the archives. And, you know, Albano wins the award after Hillbilly Jim gives all of his votes to Lou Albano. Heenan hits Albano from behind with the trophy and knocks Albano down. Hillbilly Jim is upset. Bundy and Stud come into the ring. They tackle Hillbilly Jim down. Bundy hits a big splash. And then Bobby Heenan is breaking the trophy. Bundy hits a second splash. And then, just for fun, King Kong Bundy hits a third splash onto Hillbilly Jim before Cousin Junior and Uncle Elmer run in to make the save. Now we go to Toronto and Maple Leaf Gardens for a match with Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy. And Gene Okerlund lets Bundy do the introduction because these next two clips in particular are all about King Kong Bundy. So Studd and Andre are having a match, like I said, Maple Leaf Gardens. And Bobby Heenan gets up on the apron and he grabs a pair of scissors. Studd is going to attempt to cut the hair of Andre the Giant again, but Andre manages to block it and the scissors go down. So while this is happening, Heenan gets in the ring. Andre attacks Heenan, and then the referee grabs the scissors. Andre manages to body slam Big John Studd. Andre then grabs the referee, or grabs the scissors from the referee, and these scissors are huge. I mean, these are huge scissors. And he starts to cut the hair of Big John Studd. Well, here comes Bundy to the rescue, and he attacks Andre from behind. Studd and Bundy double team Andre, take him down. Andre is being held on the legs by Studd. Bundy, he starts hitting a splash. King Kong Bundy hits four consecutive splashes in a row before some help comes. And it includes like one half of the Killer Bees, Leaping Lanny Poffo. I think Jose Luis Rivera is there. And they've done the damage. Although Studd may have lost a little bit of hair, Bundy and Studd did the damage on the Andre the Giant. They may have hurt his sternum. And then we're going to go to Saturday night's main event and the end of the match with Morocco and Hulk Hogan, where King Kong Bundy comes in and saves his manager from sure beat up from Hogan. So Bundy comes in from behind. Morocco helps Bundy, and they put Hogan in the corner. Morocco is on the apron and he's grabbing Hogan's arms and he's like really pulling him, and Bundy hits the avalanche in the corner. So he then goes for a second avalanche, and the referee here is Dave Hebner. It's not Earl. Earl's a couple years away. Dave Hebner tries to stop this. Bundy throws Hebner out onto the ring, the timekeeper's table, and you could kind of hear a thud. And then a second avalanche, and then you get a third avalanche, and Hogan is just, he's beat up. He's destroyed at this point. And then Morocco takes Hogan's hands, puts them on his chest, kind of gives him his last right, and Bundy hits a splash onto Hogan. And Vince can't believe this is happening. Like, this has never happened to Hogan before, and Jesse is loving this. And then they turn Hogan onto his stomach. Bundy hits another splash to Hulk Hogan. And they leave before the British Bulldogs can come in and make the save. Now, to the final piece of this video. And this is a very interesting piece, and I'll explain why in a moment. So we're going to get the final moments of the match between Big John Studd and Ken Patera against Andre the Giant and SD Jones, which, if you want to check out the review of that match, is on the Andre the Giant video, which, that episode, guess what? It's on the archives. So, as Heenan and Studd introduce this clip, Big John Studd says, and going into this, I was like, there's a big part in this that's said. Big John Studd says, Ken Patera, even though he's not here right now, is still a member of the Heenan family. Wow. Studd says Ken Patera in 86 is still a member of the Heenan family. Very, very interesting. So we see Studd and Patera attack Andre. They double team body slam Andre. And then we get Bobby Heenan grabbing a pair of scissors, and they start to cut the hair of Andre the Giant. And Vince McMahon, oh boy, you know how much I loved this the first time I had to watch this. It's like, oh, they're raping the dignity of Andre the Giant. They're just raping him. They're raping his dignity. I'm like, oh man, I gotta relive this part again. So after they're done cutting Andre's hair, we see Studd, we see Patera, we see Heenan. They've got locks of Andre's hair in their hands. And there's stuff being thrown at them. There was trash in the ring. Like, this got major, major heat. And then we get to the replay. And this is how the tape has to end. Where Vince is like, and there you see the raping of the dignity of Andre the Giant. And then we get the credits, and that ends the tape. But hold it right there, wrestling fans. Don't touch a button on your VCR until you hear about the next three videotapes coming from Coliseum Video. Starting off with the best of the WWF Volume 8. And we get a clip of a tag match between the Hart Foundation and the Killer Bees. Then, in our personality profile, we're going to take a look at Randy Macho Man Savage. We're going to take a look at who some fans think is the biggest threat to Hulk Hogan's championship reign. And he's going to answer the question, what's life like with Elizabeth? And finally, in response to thousands of letters, we're getting this videotape, the best of the TNT show. Clips include Bobby Heenan meeting an actual weasel and Fuji Vice. So that's the best of the WWF Volume 8, Randy Macho Man Savage, and the best of the TNT show. Call your local retailers and reserve your copies now. And if you have any comments, write to the producer, Coliseum Video, 430 West 54th Street, New York, New York, 10019. And that is Villains of the Squared Circle. Here's my thought. Going into this, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good tape. This is going to be good to watch. But coming out of it, I kind of feel a little disappointed in this. Now, don't get me wrong. They did get things right. Obviously, Heenan Bundy Studd co-hosting the videotape. That was good. That was a good thing to have there. You gave good segments, long segments to Morocco and Piper. There's a couple things I think they went wrong. The first thing is some of the matches that they showed. Okay, who remembers Tor Kamada? I'm sorry, no disrespect to Tor Kamada, but if you're watching this tape and you see the cover, here's King Kong Bundy. Here's Randy Savage. Here's Roddy Piper on the cover of the tape. You pop in the tape and you see Tor Kamada. And it's like, who is Tor Kamada? Sorry, just it doesn't work. The second thing is, you know, some of the, like, the other matches are not as good. I know they're clipped for time, but it's like, this is the George Steele match you show. This is the Ernie Ladd match you show. This is the Stan Stasiak match that you show. And that's probably another thing. People are like, who's Stan Stasiak? You know, that's another issue. But to me, the biggest issue that I have with this tape is it just felt like they didn't have enough time to put more villains on this tape. Like, I'm watching and I'm like, okay, why isn't there a bit on Freddie Blassie? Why isn't there a bit on Fabulous Moolah? Why isn't there a bit on Superstar Billy Graham? Why isn't there a bit on Jimmy Hart? Jimmy Hart's a villain. I think, and I understand, you know, the times, you can only put so much on the tape, but if you could have put a little bit more on this videotape. And then with the Iron Sheik, he gets a match. He just gets a match. This is a guy in 84 who had possibly the feud of the year with Sergeant Slaughter in WWF. And I mean a blood feud. Why don't you show footage of that? Better yet, why don't you show footage of him winning the tag titles at WrestleMania by using Blassie's cane? Where's that clip? Not on here. I don't get it. I mean, if you're looking to watch, you know, what the video is saying, which is villains, then this is a pretty decent tape. But if you're looking for, like, big-time matches and all that stuff, you're not going to find it here at all. So it's kind of like, if I did a thumbs up, thumbs down kind of method, I'd be, like, in the middle. It would be in the middle. The ending is good. The hosts are good. There are some parts that are good, but I feel like they could have done maybe just a little bit more with this videotape. All right, now, before we wrap up this videotape, we're going to do another field trip. Because last time on The Best of the WWF Volume 6, we looked up the Canadian home of Coliseum Video. So today, I'm going to go on the Google machine here, and we're going to look up the address that I always mention at the end of the videotapes of Coliseum Video and the producer. So I'm going to put this in, 430 West 54th Street, New York, 10019. And basically what this is for, folks, is to see what currently is at the address. It's not anything else. It's just what's there now. So, got a map here. And so 430 West 54th Street is right there. We are close to the power station at Berkeley, Berklee. There's an AT&T store not too far away. We're in Hell's Kitchen, by the way, for those that are curious. We're going to move along. There's a Mercedes-Benz in Manhattan on 54th Street. And we're also near the Manhattan Cruise Terminal. So we're pretty close there. Terminal 5, which is a venue for concerts and wrestling events. We're near there as well. It's probably, maybe a couple miles away. Not really terribly far. Let's see. We're also near Sesamo, the Italian-Asian restaurant. That sounds pretty interesting. We're near a Planet Fitness. Lou, you know who I'm talking to. You know exactly who you are. Tony Leg Day, Caracetti, Kirkett, Lou Duva. There's a gym nearby. There's a Planet Fitness on 55th Street. at this area. There's a TJ Maxx, a Nordstrom's, Dave's Hot Kitchen, a lot of restaurants. Oh, there's a comedy club on 53rd Street, it looks like. So, and as far as what is actually at this address, there we go. Well, it doesn't really say, but I can give information about this place. Where was it? Okay. This is a 17,485 square feet building. It was built in 1928 and has a tax assessor's market value of $3,374. And this has two commercial spaces. And yeah, this is kind of a big building. You can tell, you know, they could do, you know, like the warehouse for Coliseum Video right here. So this is a nice size building. I don't know for sure if there's anything or anyone in there, but it's there if you want to go. You know, I've given you all the information. It's in Hell's Kitchen in New York. But yeah, you can go check out where the producer of Coliseum Video was. Well, thank you all for tuning in to this edition of Coliseum Corner. The next time around, we're going to be taking a look at one of the all-time greats in professional wrestling. In fact, he's not just a legend. He's the living legend of professional wrestling. Because next time around, it's all about wrestling's living legend, Bruno Sammartino. And that's what we're going to review here next time on Coliseum Corner. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I'm Bill, and you've been listening to Coliseum Corner.